Good morning. This is hard. This is my last one. Thank you. Thank you for our time here. It's been wonderful. I'll miss you all. The Hebrew reading this morning is 2 Samuel, chapter 1, verse 1. Then it skips to 17 through 27. So that's on page 263 in your pew Bible, but it's in the large print Bible on page 341. Hear the word of the Lord. After the death of Saul, when David had returned from defeating the Amalekites, David remained 2 days in Ziklag. David intoned this lamentation over Saul and his son Jonathan. He ordered that the song of the bow be taught to the people of Judah. It is written in the book of Jashar. He said, "Your glory, O Israel, lies slain upon your high places. How mighty have fallen! Tell it not in Gath, proclaim it not in the streets of Ashkelon, or the daughters of the Philistines will rejoice, the daughters of the uncircumcised will exult. You mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew or rain upon you, nor bounteous fields. For there the shield of the mighty was defiled, the shield of Saul anointed with oil no more. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan did not turn back, nor the sword of Saul return empty. Saul and Jonathan, beloved and lovely, in life and death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. O daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you with crimson in luxury, who put ornaments of gold on your apparel. How the mighty have fallen in the midst of battle. Jonathan lies slain upon your high places. I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. Greatly beloved were you to me. Your love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. How the mighty have fallen and the weapons of war perished." The word of God for the people of God. The responsive psalm reading is Psalm 130. It's on page 848 in your hymnal. Out of the depths of I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be worshipped. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, in the Lord's word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, with the Lord is plenteous redemption, and the Lord will redeem Israel from all iniquity.
Our epistle lesson this morning comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 7 through 15. If you'd like to follow along, you can find it on page 172 in the New Testament section of your Bible. And you can find it on page 223 in the larger print edition. And this is the Apostle Paul encouraging the church at Corinth to be generous in their resources with their less fortunate sisters and brothers. I invite you to hear these words. "Now as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost eagerness, and in our love for you, so we want you to excel also in this generous undertaking. I do not say this as a command, but I am testing the genuineness of your love against the earnestness of others. For you know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. And in this matter I am giving my advice. It is appropriate for you, who began last year not only to do something, but even to desire to do something, now finish doing it, so that your eagerness may be matched by completing it according to your means. For if the eagerness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. I do not mean that there should be relief for others and pressure on you, but it is a question of a fair balance between your present abundance and their need, so that their abundance may be for your need, in order that there may be a fair balance. As it is written, the one who had much did not have too much, and the one who had little did not have too little. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So, as is our tradition, let me ask that you stand for the reading of the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to Mark. And as you're rising, if you want to follow in the Pew Bible, you'll find in the New Testament on page 37 the notation for Mark 5, 21 through 43. If you're in the large print edition, it's on page 48 of the New Testament. Hear this story. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue named Jairus came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So Jesus went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She'd heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, for she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately, her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say who touched me?" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk around. She was 12 years of age. At this they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. So I think that's one of the first examples of Methodism, because he said, "Give her something to eat," right? My friends, old school preachers have often used an approach called 3 points in a poem. Some folks call it 3 points in a prayer. Now, I don't know that I have ever consciously used this preaching method in my years of ministry. And frankly, I don't think that's what I'm going to do today. Rather, my goal this morning is to offer you a short, heartfelt message on the power of faith made up of three simple parts: accomplishment, affirmation, and anticipation. It is the system of polity or government of the United Methodist Church that pastors come and go and the congregation remains in their church home. Many of you have been here for most of this church's long and wonderful history. Now, while I don't want you to become prideful, I do hope that you will remember and celebrate the many accomplishments of ministry that have taken place here over the years. As Don said, think about the pastors, but also think about the congregations that got their start here. Think about the many ways that this faith community has reached out into our neighborhoods to help those in need, both locally and internationally. Think about the kids who grew up here, the couples who were married here, the babies and adults who were baptized here. Think about even the folks whose passing was mourned here. Remember and see what God has done in our midst. Let us together celebrate the power of the Holy Spirit working through many dedicated hands and hearts and mouths. Those are your hands, your hearts, and your mouths inspired by faith in Jesus Christ. It has been rightly said that a pastor can only lead the people as far spiritually as he or she has gone himself or herself. We are all on a path of salvation, walking step by step with Jesus Christ. Some of us have just barely gotten started. Some have stalled or are resting, while others are moving further along on the road towards spiritual maturity. What I have discovered in my time at Burns is that many of you have pulled me along with you on this journey. Many of you have helped me to grow in faith and commitment to Christ. Truly, you all continue to be God's people, forgiven, freed, and blessed. We've talked about this before. Every person, and in turn, every congregation, undergoes change in this life. There's nothing you can do about that. But every person can determine how they might transition with change, how they respond internally to those external events. One can choose to react in fear, or one can choose to respond in faith. Jesus speaks to us just as he spoke to the leader of the synagogue in this passage from Mark: do not fear, only believe. Now, I'm not suggesting some Pollyanna response to the 21st century. Lord knows we've seen enough changes this week to last a long time. But I am asking that you stick together as a community of faith and that you be fully empowered by the Holy Spirit as people of the resurrection. As Paul said to the Corinthians, so if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Accomplishment, affirmation, anticipation. You are the people of Burns Memorial United Methodist Church, and most importantly, you are followers of Jesus Christ. And I am truly blessed to have been your pastor. Thank you. Amen.